Please be seated, my friends. Well, good morning, everyone. Peter is on holidays in Melbourne, and from the short notes I've seen from him, having a slightly relaxing time. It's been quite a run here, I think, for him and for us. And, of course, last week, the annual general meeting and the special vestry meeting and the heading on our message, what we are, the parish of East Torrens. And this is a, oh, right, God is doing something new in this place. And so I think Peter and Heather are having just a little bit of a deep breath to both relax and to start this new venture with us under God. And it seems fitting to me that this morning's readings take us through, step by step really, three amazing accounts of God in action. Of God taking the initiative, meeting human beings just like us, and then working powerfully in their lives. This experience of God making himself known in a way that has Isaiah and Peter and then Paul just falling on their faces going, just get away from me. This is too much. This is too much. And God moving in their lives. They're meeting God through Jesus face to face. And then going, okay, says Isaiah, here I am, send me. And as you listen to the readings this morning, perhaps you identified with these stories. You went, yes, that's my story. What a change agent God is. I'm convinced, I was convicted by meeting Jesus. I turned around and headed out with him. Or perhaps you said, oh, if only it was my story. If only I knew Jesus just like that. Could that really happen to someone like me? Or perhaps you just put it in the category of another Bible story. Nice to hear, but not reality. I mean, meeting Jesus personally, that might have happened hundreds of years ago, but it's not likely to happen now, is it? I mean, could it ever happen? Would I want it to really happen? Do I want my life turned around? Really? Well, wherever you find your response in these accounts, I'm praying that as we look at them together this morning, we will be convinced and convicted and welcome Jesus, meeting, greeting, transforming us through his Holy Spirit, that we'll have this personal advocate, this translator, this friend, this God at work. Business happening in and through us. So let us pray. Gracious Lord, gracious God, Lord and Redeemer, be with us this morning as we hear you speak through your written and living word. Open our hearts and minds and wills to your work for us, in us and through us. Be active in our lives, Lord Jesus. Amen. God's work for us, in us, and through us. You have the readings before you in this little, in the low, if you want to look at it as I take us through those three accounts, an account in Isaiah, the account in Corinthians, though I'm also going to use the story in Acts about Paul's conversion, and the story in Luke. And what we see in these is that God shows up. Isaiah was called to be a prophet. We're told in the beginning of the book of Isaiah that he is the son of Amos. And actually, that's all we know. We don't actually know who Amos was. So we're just placed that this, the book of Isaiah, and certainly the opening part, seems to be a direct vision given to Isaiah, this son of Amos, and it's concerning Judah and Jerusalem, And it happened in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. So it has an historical setting, and it's God turning up and appearing to Isaiah. So in Isaiah 6, as we read this morning, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah sees a vision of God sitting on the throne. So the Holy Spirit has come and opened his eyes to see a particular vision of God. This is God's initiative. It's not as if Isaiah was sitting dreaming going, show me, show me, show me. And God said, oh, perhaps I will today. This is God doing it and Isaiah being surprised out of his life, really. This is God at work. And so we can see that there he is. He sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he sees what the throne room looks like with seraphs and worship, and the whole thing is filled and shaking and smoking. And he goes, woe is me, I am lost. How can I possibly be seeing such the holy place and God on high? It's the end of me. So God comes, greets Isaiah, and shows Isaiah a particular picture. The picture that perhaps Isaiah really needed if he was going to get on with the job that God is about to give him. To see that God is reigning, God is king, he is high, he is holy, and he is adored and worshipped. Here is one with authority, the one through whom Isaiah will be given a job. Jesus, as miraculously we see in Luke, has selected this time to catch up with the disciples. He's preaching. He has so many people pressing in. It seems like he's being pushed back into the water and they're all on the beach. And so he calls for a boat and says, Simon, I want your boat. Just push it out a bit. If they want to get any further, they'll have to get their feet wet. And he sits there a little way from the shore and continues to teach. And then Jesus turns and says to Simon, go out and try fishing again. There wasn't any request from Simon to say, we had a bad morning, would you do something about it? There wasn't any, would you like to use my boat? No, Jesus takes this initiative and makes sure that he and Simon meet face to face and have a conversation. And Paul says that he too had an encounter with Jesus. I, the least of the apostles, unfit to be called one. I was persecuting the church of God. And we know from Acts he's on his way to do exactly that with murderous thoughts in his heart, we're told. And God stops him. The bright light, that road to Damascus experience, all happened at God's initiative so that Saul was thrown to the ground, hears Jesus speak, I'm the one you've been persecuting, and is blind until God anoints him. What amazing encounters with God at God's initiative, as God says, there's going to be some work for you to do, and you need to renew your relationship with me if you're going to get this work underway. And so we see then that God does a work in those that he has met. Jesus meets us and we may well respond by going, help, what is happening here? I can't be in this place. I'm not worthy to have the Lord God speak straight to me. That's not my thing. And you notice in these that it's God that puts it right. For Isaiah, what happens? Down comes a seraph. I don't know how many of you have seen seraphs. Well, I've only seen art and sort of pictures of what someone thinks they might look like. with their wings, six wings they've got apparently, they flew down with a live coal from the altar in the presence of God and touched Isaiah's mouth. Now that's not exactly one of those comfortable situations, I don't think, but as his mouth was touched, his guilt departed and his sin was blotted out. Remember his response? Go away from me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips. And I'm seeing God? I shouldn't be here. But God has a place for Isaiah in his presence to work closely with him. And God says, I put it right. I cleanse you. You've called out rightly. You are not worthy. And you can never make yourself worthy. But I can, says God. And that's exactly what happens for Simon Peter. He says, Master, it falls at Jesus' feet, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I can't stand in the presence of God doing miracles. And you did the miracle for us. I mean, you know, they're now blessed with a catch. They can barely get to shore. I'm a sinner. I can't be in your presence. And it's Jesus who says, don't be afraid. I'm in your life now, and you're going to do a work for me. I count you clean. I am the one who indeed then, just as Paul found out, who was knocked to the ground, blind, that as Ananias ministers to him, we read in Acts, the scales fall from his eyes and he sees that God is the one he is to follow, not to fight against. And he is counted clean, all because of the Lord Jesus. God puts it right. It's God that puts us in the position to now be given the commission. It's for God to work in us, and of course it's through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The death as he takes our sin on himself and puts it to death and says, here is new life. We are made ready by God's saving, cleaning action, saving action through the Lord Jesus. And then we're made whole. We recover our real identity. That word, we often see it redeemed. If you're redeemed, you're made new. You're back where you should be. All the debt, everything is paid. And your real identity and relationship with God are restored. And then God says, now I've got something for you to do. Isaiah, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who's going to act on our behalf, on behalf of God in this world? And the one who was falling on his face and saying, get away from me, goes, here am I. Send me. I can now be your servant. What does Jesus say to the disciples? Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. And when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. And we know the story, don't we, that for the next 3 years, they walked with Jesus. They learnt what it was to be sent out by Jesus. They learnt what it was to actually look like Jesus. They were with him every day. You can't cover up much when you're with them every day. One of the things we had to do in preparation for going on our first year of mission service was spend a year living in community in Melbourne. So, you know, pack your family up and go to missionary training college. It's not just the classroom. It's the every morning getting up grumpy over breakfast. It's the getting your... And there were lots of families. How you parent and get your children off to school is a very public event. when you live in community with 25 other people, or with their children getting up and not wanting to go to, you know, and as you grump about your car or you grump about, everybody sees it. Everybody has something to say. Your life is on show. And there's something here about God working through ordinary people and commissioning ordinary people. Here are those disciples who are going to learn their job by walking in relationship with Jesus. It's what our invitation is. Walk in relationship with me. And that's exactly what happened to Paul as Ananias laid hands on him and the scales came from his eyes. Ananias was pretty reluctant to do this, you know. And it wasn't until God says to Ananias, go. This one, Paul, is going to be an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Chosen, sent, and so Ananias enters the house. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me that you may regain your sight, the physical sight, and the spiritual insight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. His sight was restored. He got up, he was baptized, and then regained his strength. And we know that he withdrew and spent some time to prepare for that ministry. Here is God appearing, making himself known. Here is God doing the work necessary to make us right to be in that relationship with him. And then God setting us up in the relationship. What will this relationship look like? What will we be doing? What will it look like to live this out? God has it in hand. It's God who says, and now, go. Go, and what am I going to do, Lord? You're going to live with me. Live like me. You are going to share this message and tell others what you know. Shortly after Isaiah had this time of commitment before the Lord, in chapter 7, he says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you don't stand at all. You see, there's a going on in which we need to stand firm. Paul says, I remind you of the good news I proclaimed to you. I hand on to you what I received about Christ dying. And then he declares, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. What an epitaph. I pray that I could say at the end of my deathbed, the grace of Jesus towards me has not been in vain. I was able to do what he called me to do. He equipped me and I was obedient. It was the grace of God at work in me. And what's the other thing Paul says? I fought the good fight, I kept the faith, I ran the race. He then says to the people that he's addressing in Corinthians, hold firmly to the message I proclaimed. Unless what you've come to believe is in vain, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you do not stand at all. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Never. Never in vain. It mightn't look like you thought it would. My dear friends who spent years ministering in Pakistan, could they come home and say, I saw hundreds come to the Lord Jesus? No. Barely a soul. who in their presence said anyway that they followed Jesus because of their ministry. And yet, it's never in vain. God is at work. A friend of mine says that he had a Christian Maori friend who would greet him with the words, "Kia kaha." They mean, stand firm. This Maori friend had been through many trials, including the loss of his brother shortly after his conversion. But his faith remained strong through the Lord blessing him, and he gave himself fully to the work of the Lord. My friend says, in doing this, he then saw God's hand move in marvellous ways. So let us, as we think of the call of God on our lives, as we think of how God has revealed himself to us, how we think about how God has put us in the position to be able to have a relationship with him, we're going to enter these new times to stand firm. Sure, things are going to be changed and new. We may be a new parish with a new name, a new cluster of God's people being formed and reformed in Jesus' name. But the gospel and our calling is the same. Hold on. Stand firm. Share the hope that you know in you with those around. Where are you standing today? Are you waiting to meet Jesus? Never actually met Jesus face to face? Are you needing to have a new meeting with Jesus? Or already knowing Jesus well and hearing the call to stand firm and saying, yeah, I know about that? Paul knew that the Corinthian church needed a reminder. And as new times come, and as we cope with a changing world and a changing church, we could be drawn away without noticing that we are not standing true to our foundation of faith and be distracted by division or ideas that are not of God. Let's not let that happen. And let us build together in East Torrens and stand firm in the gospel. Amen.